And I've got more scriptures on how receiving his word, receiving their word. It's, look, somebody's preaching, somebody's hearing. If the hearer believes it's true, it's gonna make something happen in their life. Negative or positive. Every con man in the world relies on this principle. That if you believe it, it's true, you're gonna do what he tells you. You're gonna wrap your money up in a handkerchief. I mean, come on now. Are you gonna stick it in an envelope, put it in your mailbox, your credit card, or whatever stupid scam they got running at the time? Because faith without works is dead. Because faith without action isn't faith at all. Because faith by itself isn't faith. Faith has a manifestation, an end result, something that happens. When you believe it, it makes things happen. If we believe that only God can forgive sin, as was the belief of the Pharisees, then Christ no longer becomes a role model for us. After all, who can be like God? If he's really God operating there, we got no hope, man. Because we can't do that. I can't turn on God whenever I want to. Now, if instead we can believe that God has transferred the authority for Christ the man to extend to others the opportunity to experience something God has already provided, then we all have a role model in Christ. You do understand that? If authority is given to man, Christ first, by the way, remember we did this study, the new thing, this new dispensation where now we have authority over the spiritual realm? This is the same. It's the same authority. It's the same thing. It's in man's authority now. All this stuff is patent. I'll show you the rest of the scripture, but think about this. There a point in time came before the cross. This is all before the cross, where God passed the baton to man, and all those things that God was taking care of, he's handed over us to take care of. Casting out of demons. Never existed before. God officiated the spiritual realm, and he allowed and didn't allow the demonic realm to do whatever it is they did. And then a time came, and it stopped. We have all those scriptures. If you don't have that study, get with me. I'll get you a copy of it. But that changed. Those other authorities that were passed down that were also changed at the same time. And this is another one of them. If God decided now's the time, man has now access to this. What did Jesus say? He preached the gospel of the kingdom. What did the scripture say? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. What is that? That's it. That's the message. The kingdom of heaven is now open and attached to this one. There is no separating wall anymore. At hand means, doesn't mean at hand, like the book's at hand. Not quite there in my hand, but close to my hand. That's not what it means. At hand means it's now joined. It means in your hand. It means that realm is now part of this realm, and the two become one in the particular area where there's access into the spiritual realm. We know there is, because how could we receive the Spirit of Christ if there wasn't access in the spiritual realm? Because it's over there. And we're over here. Because this border crossing between the spiritual realm and the physical realm, between the here and now and the there and eternity, where time doesn't make a difference, the gate's been lifted. There is now a door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. This is what he's talking about. Now, I'll read the rest of this. So if God, and I'm going to go back and paraphrase a little, if God's transferred to Christ and man, or Christ the man, he has to, if he does it for one man, he's got to do it for all men because it's the law. The way the law works, the way, not, I'm not talking about the Mosaic law, I'm talking about when God sets something up, if that's the deal. For as long as that deal is, it exists that way. Like when he gave man dominion, he never took dominion back. We've always had dominion. Over everything in the earth, everything was brought to the earth. But the reality is that Satan usurped the authority of Adam and Eve, and for all practical purposes, they lost it to him. It's like they had a valuable ring on their finger that God had given them. That's what a ring signifies, a covenant or an authority. Remember the prodigal son? Put my ring on his finger, put my cloak on his back. Okay. So let's say Satan stole the rings from them. The rings are still theirs, but they don't have the benefit of enjoying them because the thief has got it. You understand the concept? They didn't disappear. They didn't get destroyed. They're just in somebody else's possession. Well, that's all been wrangled back to us, possession-wise. So that's one of those things that continues on, but doesn't stop. So God set it up this way, and that's the way it is with this. Okay. So God provided a way for man to be able to extend, for Christ to be able to extend to others the opportunity to experience something God's already provided. God already provided it. And I'm going to extend it to you. Your sins are forgiven. Now, what does it take to make that work? Him saying it and the guy believing it. Remember that? Believing is receiving. He said it. The guy believed it. Done. That's all he had to do. Now, there were people there that didn't believe that he had the authority to do that. The scribes that were there didn't think that Christ had the authority to do that. They thought only God could do that, just like only God could cast out demons. But the thing has changed. I mean, they said the same thing when Jesus cast out demons from people. What manner of man is this who can't manage demons? That's not possible. It's never happened before. Nobody's ever done that. But they did that, and the disciples did it, and the followers did it, and we do it. Why? Because it was available to a man. See, by one man, sin entered into the world, and through another, something else entered into the world, and something left. Sin. Did everybody get tainted by sin after Adam? Absolutely. Does everybody get tainted by by when Christ is brought into the... Absolutely. I want more of that. Everybody that believes gets a piece of that. And if you want more, you just believe more, and you get more of that. Second Corinthians 5:18. Bottom of page 5. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, the other one we read said the same exact thing. He said, but the word of reconciliation, and this is the ministry of reconciliation. So what is the ministry? What is the ministry of reconciliation? What's the ministry of the gospel of Christ? What's the ministry of the gospel of the kingdom? They're all different, all part of the same thing, but they're all a ministry. What is it? It's us doing it. Us doing it. Ministry. Not somebody else doing it. Then it's their ministry. But if we're in ministry and we're called to the ministry of reconciliation, then it's, but understand, whether it's them or us, it's still a man. Oh, do you think people are going to fall into salvation on their own? They don't hear nothing. Nobody ever preaches or teaches or anything else. They're just automatic. They're going to just stumble over it one day like a rock and fall into salvation. No, don't work that way. Doesn't work that way at all. Because it's a word. It's given us the word of reconciliation. What's the word? Jesus died for your sin and God's not counting sins for you anymore. Do you want in on that? Great. That's a word of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation. Let me tell you, brother, that God loves you so much he sent his son to die for you on the cross. And if you receive him, then all your sins are forgiven. You don't have eternal life with him. That's the ministry of reconciliation. Don't be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. There's a solution to your problem. You think nobody loves you? God loves you. He loves you so much, he sent his son to die for you. The ministry of reconciliation. Now, if that's true, then what else do we minister? Well, we minister everything. Then it says we're supposed to minister. You can make a list. It's a long list, isn't it? All the stuff the Scripture says we can do. How? As unto the Lord, or as from the Lord, or in obedience to the Lord, or in subjection to the Lord, or as an expression of love, the love of God for one another. Your neighbor is yourself. All that teaching. Isn't that? Well, it's everything, isn't it? So we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Yeah, exactly. All those things. Verily I say to you, whosoever believes in me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these, for I go unto the Father. Jesus said that. It's true. It's true. We can do everything he did. If he forgave the guy that was paralyzed on the mat, then so can we in the same way he did. Not because we're Christ, or not because we're God, but the same way he did. How did he do it? The Father gave him authority to do it. And he gives you the authority to do it. Do we do it? Oh, I have the power to forgive sins. I'm so cool looking at this wife. Oh, my son, your sins are forgiven. That's not what it's talking about. Is it? What's it talking about? It's talking about, since sins aren't being counted by God anymore, and this guy's walking under sin because he hasn't been reconciled to God, he's still out there. He's not in this deal. This whole thing that's been reconciled already, he can't be a part of. Why? Because he's not a part of it. He doesn't know and he doesn't believe it. So you preach it to him. Isn't that what he just said, what the Scripture said he did? Didn't he say that it's not me that does the works, but the Father in me that does the works? But didn't he have to explain to them that afterwards? Didn't he just walk around going to demons, out, and your sins are forgiven, and stand up and walk? And why did he not say, you know, God, let me explain this to you. There's this new deal, you know, and God's given me the authority to be able to, you know, we all have access to this, to believe. And, but so, you know, if you understand how this works, then then you can have this, and your sins will be forgiven. Well, we just walked in what he already knew was true. If you walk in the truth, then you're applying your faith to the truth, and what happens? It's going to manifest. Won't it? Isn't that how it works? The lie manifests, the truth manifests. If you walk in the truth and you don't doubt, see, if you don't doubt your dog's dead, it'll manifest. If you don't doubt that he is dead, it'll manifest. I mean, if you don't doubt that God said this is for you, if you don't doubt it, then you're going to walk in it. You don't have to keep telling yourself all the time, oh, in the name of Jehovah God, I do. No, you don't do that. Why? Because you're already in him, and he's in you, and you don't think about it like that anymore. You walk around in the authority given to you. Okay. I give you the authority, put a badge and a uniform on you, get you a gun belt, a gun, a can of mace, and a taser, and a bulletproof vest, and a squad car which says Pompeii Police Department on the side with the lights on the top and everything else. Okay, what are you going to do? You're going to go, excuse me, sir. Listen, you know, they downtown, they told me that I could tell you to put the gun down or I'd shoot you. So, you know, can you do that for me? Or, you know, if you don't stop, I have the authority from the Pompeii Police Department. You just say, freeze! Or I'll blow you out of your socks, jerk. You know, the guy stops. You know, you don't have to say, you got a uniform on. You're in the spirit realm, we're all wearing uniforms. In the spirit realm, there's Christ all over you. There's Christ all over every one of us. What do you think the demons see anyhow? They see someone who, a lot of times, doesn't know that Christ is all over them. And they're going to beat up on them, but the people that know it, they don't mess with them. Why? Because they're walking in the authority that they've been given. They're walking it. You can tell. I mean, you know, the badge isn't on upside down. You know? And there's a gun in the holster. They're not going to mess with you. But you can mess with them. But they look at a Christian, he don't even, the gun's all rusty. They gave it to him, he's never cleaned it once. Never even fired it, probably. Oh man, this guy's, I can get this guy easy. This guy don't even have a clue that there's a gun in his belt. Look at the things that never been unsnapped. And his badge is so tarnished you can't even read it. This guy don't have a clue what he's got. You understand? That's the reality. This is what this whole deal is all about. As believers, we're walking in authority. So do we have to do that? No. But do we understand that it's not us that does it? It's Christ in us. And the Father in him. And the Father in us. And the concept of abiding that he teaches so long so we do understand this thing where you can get it down and then nobody talks about it. I mean, when was the last time you heard anybody besides me talk about the abiding teaching that Jesus said? 2.5 chapters. It's like, you know, they quote the only scripture that's mistranslated out of that whole teaching. They quote that one because it's mistranslated. It sounds really stupid. They like that one. Mansions in heaven. So, how do we operate? Let's look at a couple more scriptures and we'll finish this up, if I can. Galatians 3, 5 through 9. He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and works miracles among you. Oh, there's ministering again. What's the ministry? Working miracles, right? Isn't ministering the Spirit working miracles? It says it right there. Okay? Does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? How does he accomplish it? That's what it's saying. by the works of the law? Is all that stuff, all those miracles, do they come because people are following the law, or because they heard something that they believed? How did it happen? How did those miracles come? Somebody heard it and received it, right? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham. Are you hearing that? This is telling you exactly what I told you before. Abraham knew, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed, for then they which are be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. So the things already existed. Abraham was already in on it. It hadn't even happened yet, because it was already done and settled. But in the spirit realm, hey, once God makes a decision, then it's done. Don't have to worry about it again. You know, Abraham, because you're listening to me, and I know if I tell you something, you'd do it, and if I tell you something was true and it was for you, you'd take it. You'd receive it instantly, because I can tell. Because why? Because of your faith. What's that? The ability to operate in a direction until it was a manifestation. If I told you about salvation, you'd get it so quick, you'd be in on that in a heartbeat. So you got it. And when it happens, it'll be retroactive, but you're gonna have it now. It's done. Do you understand this concept? Do you understand the concept I'm trying to teach you there? They got it retroactively, but they walked in it then. They were walking in right standing with God then. Even though Christ hadn't gone to the cross yet. And there's about four places where it says this. I'm going to name the names, and it tells you when. When they made the statement, that's proof. Like when David said, and the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. David knew, Paul says. And when he told Abraham, seed, wasn't talking about seeds. He was talking about seed, one, that was Christ. That's Paul's words, the apostle. Okay. Now, in Matthew chapter 9, the story plays again. The end, the last verse I want you to see, we have it on end of page 6. And this is when the guy takes him to bed and walks away. This is the next verse. And when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Again, unto men is a big statement here. They knew, because of what he said, Son of Man, that he was not passing himself off as anything else. Wow, God's given this authority to men? I'm telling you, I never knew this. I not understood this part of it. The authority is given by God to man. Matthew, this is page 7. We're going to skip this other stuff. Exousia is the word, by the way. 1849, the word power. It's the same word translated authority through Scripture. We'll get into that. Matthew 21, verses 23 through 24. And when he was come unto the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, by what authority dost thou do these things? And who gave you this authority? And Jesus answered and said to them, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I and likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. Now, the statement being made is, who gives you the authority? This word authority, this word power, and the word authority has a unique meaning. I'll give you a second. The badge. Authority. You weren't born with a badge. Captain of the team. You weren't born a captain of the team. President. You weren't born president. It's an authority that's given you. By one way or another, it's not yours, but now you have it. That's what this word means. It's not the inherent nature of something. It's the nature of that thing now. That they've received it, whatever it is. Here's another scripture that has the same word. For as many as believed him, gave he power to become the sons of God. So another scripture. To as many as received him, gave he power to become the sons of God. The word, same word. Same word here is authority, same word here is power, same words that are used in these scriptures we're looking at. It's the same exact word. To as many as received him, gave he them the authority. It's something given. It doesn't say, so as many received them, they are in. Because they got to receive the authority to be in. When you believe it, you receive the authority for it. Listen to me. You ready for this? This is how it works. I just saw this vision. It was great. Okay? As you make the profession of faith, God says, okay, now he has authority to receive that from the heaven, from the spiritual realm. Now you got the authority. Why? Because you received authority. From who? By believing in Christ. And what he did, you received the authority to receive salvation. Are you with me? Does that make sense to you? It's given to you. For as many as received him, gave he, God, the authority to become the sons of God. Were they sons of God before? No. Uh-uh. Not in the practical sense they weren't. In the practical sense they were sons of the devil. Hellbound. On their way to hell in a hurry. But all of us, one way or another, we were set for destruction. Until what happened? We got something different. Then we received authority to receive salvation. Forgiveness of sin. All the stuff that comes with salvation. It's all part of the same package. The word used there is authority. Is a large percentage of the time it's translated authority. Otherwise it's translated power. And it's always something received from somewhere or someone else. Okay. Matthew 28. 18 through 19. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Wait a minute. Whoa. You mean he didn't have it already? Did you get this? Did you get it? All power is given unto me. Well, if he's God, nothing's got to be given to him. He's got it already. If he's God in the flesh, this statement is ridiculous. It makes no sense. Because why would something be given to him that was already his and he already had? You're with me now? You understand that concept? Well, it was given to him. All power is given to me. He didn't make a statement and said, I have all power in heaven and earth. No, he didn't say that. He says, all power in heaven and earth has been given to me. The fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily in me, and in you, and in you. So, they try to use that to say he's God, not true. Okay. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go therefore, all of you, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All authority has been given to me, and go and do what's in my authority. Okay, this next is a little statement of, you know, how many scriptures you got to ignore to try and believe that God, that Christ was exercising his Godhood in that scripture. You got to ignore all these scriptures to believe that that's true, that he was acting as God in the flesh when he forgave the guy's sin. I'm God, I can forgive your sins. Now, by the way, this is not the only time. I'm going to show you another time where they said the same thing. That's what we're going to get to next. In Acts 2, 37 to 39 on page 8, is a statement that's important because it's a way to check ourselves at the door so we understand where things come from. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise unto you and to your children, and to all that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now, is forgiveness available to everyone? Or only Christians? I don't know. But one thing for sure is that if you're born again believer, it's automatically yours. The right to forgiveness of sin is yours, because now you're in on the deal. It's available to you. Now, and pretty much everybody understands that going into it. If not, it's not before they make the profession of faith, shortly after, they understand that their sins are forgiven. And they're going to receive that. Can you receive that before? Can someone who's not a Christian receive forgiveness of their sins? But does God count sin anymore for the whole world? No. Can they? Probably. It's kind of like healing. Do people that weren't Christians receive healing? Yeah, all the time. Jesus did it to people that weren't Christians. The apostles did it to people who weren't Christians. The people I never even saw were healed by little pieces of cloth that Peter sent off to people, and Jesus said in his word to the servant of the centurion, and all kinds of people were healed. But I thought healing was the children's bread that belonged to the children of God. It was we have this concept that God only holds out all this really good stuff just for the few that jump through all the hoops. Okay, you get to heaven on those. By the way, Jesus is talking, and he calls the lady who asks for her daughter to be healed. He says, but this is the food, this bread, this is the bread that belongs to the children of God. That's his answer to her. Well, can you please heal my daughter? He says, well, this bread belongs to the children of God. And she goes, even dogs eat from the crumbs of their masters. Why should I give it to dogs, he says to her. Why should I give it to a dog that belongs to the children of God? Why should I give it to a dog? I want my daughter healed. Belongs to the children of God. Why should I give it to dogs? And she goes, even dogs eat the crumbs that fall off the master's table. They're crumbs that fall off the master's table. The daughter was healed. This is going to bend and stretch your whole concept of a bunch of stuff. But we got to stretch it because it's in there. And it's not lying. I mean, a big point. about this lady coming up and asking for her daughter to get healed, and how Jesus called her a dog. I'm telling you, you think it's Simon on the American Idol or something. Simon Cowell. That's how he's acting. What's the deal? Sure it is. Old Testament prophets raised dead people. Old Testament prophets healed people. It's nothing new. Forgiveness of sin, though, that's a little new. Because really, only God has the power to do that, right? Well, so you think. But not anymore. But how does it really work anyhow? Well, you know, it's not us doing it. It's just us kind of standing in the front. And fronting for God. It's doing it, isn't it? Isn't that what we're doing? We're really fronting for God because we're not doing it. The big guy's doing it. But we're the ones there doing it. Kind of looks like we're doing it. And as far as I know, God's never... I mean, I've said stuff that I wasn't prepared to say. I actually stepped out on occasions that I didn't really expect to step out. But I've never got dragged down to a place and had God made me do something. Usually I go on my own. I volunteer. Or, well, maybe that's a good idea and I'll do it. Or, okay, I'll say it. Well, I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me, but I'll say it anyhow. And we operate a gift from God. But is forgiveness that one of those deals? Is it just like everything else that appears to be? Like, it has the same salvation. Big deal. Forgiveness of sins that God isn't counting anymore. That doesn't sound as big a deal. Because the big one was first, wasn't it? Isn't it all part of the same big experience of salvation? To be made whole? That's what the word salvation means. Saved. To be healed. Actually is what it means. Actually the word saved is healed. And the word salvation is healing. So that'll mess some people's theology, but that's what it says. That's what the words are. To be made whole. And God says, you know, if you want, I can make you whole. And that includes all that stuff. All that stuff. Includes it all. Okay, read this. Okay. You gotta read this one. Let's read John chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. We're gonna read these fast. And as Jesus passed by, he saw the man which was blind from his birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is the day. The night cometh where no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. I must work, read that verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me. And you and I must work the works of him that sent us. Now, John chapter 10, probably we're going to go fast, verse 25 through 38. John chapter 10, 25 through 38. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe me not, because you are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand, and I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we will stone you not, but for blasphemy, and because thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I said, you are gods? If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe me not, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him. Now, I found this area, I go, whoa, wait a minute, this has got too much stuff in it. He makes a couple of statements in here that are outrageous. First of all, I emphasized from the Father, because he always tells them where it's coming from. That it's not coming from him, that he's not God, but they're preparing to say he says he's God. He says, well, wait a minute. The scripture says, there's only one scripture back then, that's the Old Testament, because there was no New Testament. He says, the scripture says that God said to the prophet, I say you are gods. And if he called them gods, the ones to whom the word of God came, the people that heard it, the people, the scripture can't be broken. You can't undo that. Oh, wait a minute. I'm going, wait a minute. He just said, okay, if you want to call me God, then here's what God you can call me. The scripture in the Old Testament says that God called people then God, so I could be one of those. And since it's scriptural, how can you get me for that? I'm not blaspheming, I'm quoting scripture. This is like the best comeback I've seen in a long time. Oh, okay, you're going to serve me this because you say I'm saying I'm God, which I never said. But if I had said it, you know what? So did the scripture say that. So how can I be blaspheming if the God said it? And if God said it and it's in the scriptures, you can't undo that. They don't know what to do now. They're stuck. He just caught them. And just say, so I looked it up, and here it is. This is the last verse we're going to look at, the last scripture. This is what Jesus is quoting from. This is great. Psalms 82, 1 through 7. A song of Asaph. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk in darkness. And the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But you'll all die like men and fall like one of the princes. This is the one he's quoting from. You got to understand, these are scribes. They know what he's saying. They got this stuff memorized. They only got five books. I mean, they got it memorized. I mean, I got most of this memorized, and there's a lot more than five books in it. So I know that these guys, that's all they do. Their whole life, that's all they talk about. They're scribes. They're the ones that make Torahs. They're the ones that copy every word by hand. Scribes. He said, and here's what he's quoting from. God called them gods. Okay, I'm one of them. I'm one of those kind of gods. If you wanted to say I'm a god, okay. But I'm one of these kind of gods. That I'm going to die like a man. I'm going to fall like one of those princesses. One of those princes. And he does, doesn't he? Doesn't he? Absolutely. So this is a very appropriate scripture for him to quote. And it totally defends him against the accusation that he's trying to pass himself off as God by doing things only God can do. Now, I've shown you the body of scripture. And does it appear to you that Jesus was operating in anything other than his role as a man with the authority God gave him to do all the things that he did, and that the same authority he's passed down to us? That's what it appears to me. Does it appear different? Does this appear like he's there flexing his God muscles on everybody and showing? And no, it doesn't look like that at all. In fact, he defends himself. He defends himself with the scriptures. And he deliberately says, no. It's not me doing the works. It's the Father in me that does the works. And that's the same teaching he does in the abiding. That isn't from the abiding teaching. But he's teaching people about that, that he's using all through his ministry. All this, don't you know me, the Father me? The works I do, it's not me that does the works, but the Father me that does the works. Anyhow. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation to minister to those that we meet, that we choose, that come into our path. The things that God has prepared for them in the spiritual realm that we know they would just love to have. Isn't that all it is? Is any one of those things up there any different? Is there any of them bigger than salvation? So how can they take one thing and say, well, this only God can do. It was God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Not here, but I'm showing it to you. His good pleasure to give us the kingdom. The whole thing. It was his good pleasure to give us the whole thing. And we just have to figure out how to do that. And how to walk in that. When you were a child, you were treated like a child, even though you're a son of a king. But time comes when you don't need a schoolmaster anymore, because now it's time to walk in your inheritance. Heavenly Father, thank you for these things. Thank you for this evening. Thank you for this revelation of your word, Father God. Walk in this. Wow. And the fullness of it, Father God. And do the exploits and minister the ministering that you call us to do. We thank you for those that are here, for those that aren't, and our loved ones. And we return to you love and grace and peace and dominion and the authority given to us in Yahshua. Amen. Amen.